today as we come to the table.
He's going to sit right here for 1,000 years. His train will fill the temple on the Temple Mount. We'll be going up to worship him. We'll be praising him. We'll be serving him on the earth for 1,000 years in peace and joy and love and rejoicing and feasting and no calories and all that good stuff. You know, no more aches and pains, no more worries, just joy. Loving each other, just the way it's supposed to be. That's on the horizon very soon. That's why I say, listen, don't freak out about the days we live in. This is a time to be excited. I don't like the yucky stuff any more than you do. But we're really close, guys.
The day of the Lord is near. We've heard this for centuries, as far back as the Old Testament prophets. But someday it'll literally come to pass. And doesn't it seem like maybe it's getting close? Pastor Mark encourages us today that the thought of Jesus returning should bring joy to our hearts. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. After all, isn't this the reason we believe in our Savior? He came to make a way for sinners to be reunited with their Heavenly Father. One day, He will return and reign on this earth. What a privilege it would be to be a part of the generation that is taken up in the clouds. Each day brings us closer to this glorious promise. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
This really is a sign that we all rejoice in every year at the birth of Christ, when we celebrate the birth of the Lord. At Christmas time, notice it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And by the way, Emmanuel means God with us. So a virgin is going to have a son and call his name Emmanuel. Now, this is interesting because this is where the critics come in, but the Bible slams it shut on them in the New Testament. The word that's used here for a virgin, it's a word that if you read a lot of these commentaries that challenge the word of God, they'll say, well, that word can be used for virgin, and that word can also be used for young maiden. And so we can't really say that the virgin birth was really prophesied or that it even happened. Some people say that even in Christian circles or in the seminaries or whatever, they try to deny the virgin birth. And they say, you can't say this really means a virgin birth because it could mean a young maiden. Well, very rarely does it ever mean a young maiden in that sense. However, there's two things I would note. Number one, if a young maiden gets pregnant and has a son, what kind of sign is that? That's called nature. It's not a sign. That's just life. So it makes no sense for God to say, I'm going to give you a sign. Somebody's going to get pregnant. You're going to be like, oh my goodness, look, you know, somebody's pregnant. It's a sign from God. What does it mean? It's like, what are you talking about? What does it mean? It's normal, okay? So very obviously that can't be the context of what God is saying here because it makes zero sense in light of the fact that it's a sign. But the Lord slams the door shut in Matthew because when Matthew quotes this, Matthew uses a word that can only be used one way. And guess what that one way is? A virgin. So they try to focus on this word that can be a virgin or a young maiden. Matthew slams the door shut in the New Testament by using a word that can only be for a virgin, if you will, to clarify what it was that God was talking about. Not that he should have to do that, but again, knowing mankind, he does it. Kind of shuts the door on the critics. This here again, speaking of the virgin birth. Now, why the virgin birth? Remember, Jesus could not be born the normal way because he would have had a tainted bloodline. There would have been sin in this bloodline. So God had to supernaturally take an untainted bloodline and put it inside of a woman. Let the woman carry the baby and the baby be born. And of course, Jesus being born by Mary, but being able to avoid the tainted bloodline of mankind. And this is why we all need a Savior, because every one of us are born with a tainted bloodline. If you don't know the Lord, you're visiting tonight, you hadn't given your life to the Lord, say, why would I need to give my life to the Lord? I'm a pretty good person. I'm not that bad or whatever. You could be perfect. If you live your life, which nobody here is going to be able to say that, if you say you never sinned, then already now you sin because you're lying, so we caught you. But let's say someone said, I've never sinned my whole life, and you could make it all the way through till the day you died and never sinned, you would still be eternally condemned. Why? I never sinned. You were born with it in your veins. The Bible says by one man, sin entered the world, and that man was Adam. Jesus was the last Adam. He came, had perfect blood to pay for the blood that Adam tainted. And what that means is everyone has sin before they ever sin. Everyone's guilty the moment they're formed in the womb of their mother, the moment their blood begins to circulate from the bodies of their parent, because it only comes from one. But the reality is there's already sin circulating in the body. And so that means even a perfect person is not acceptable to God because they already inherit this bloodline that is tainted. Jesus didn't. That's why the virgin birth is so important. Curds and honey he shall. Now, by the way, was there a virgin that gave birth here? Probably not. It could have been. God may have supernaturally had a virgin give birth here, but because the word can be used both ways, there may have been some supernatural thing. Well, it was supernatural. It had to be a sign. Some argue that maybe it was a normal birth and it was foreshadowing the sign, which we know it was, of Jesus Christ. And that's why he says a sign will be given, that it wasn't really a sign in Isaiah's day, but became a sign in our day. Some say no, that God really did something supernatural and had someone else have a virgin birth. But probably likely here, this was speaking of Jesus Christ alone and the sign that he will do later. But the sign of this young maiden, how God did it exactly, we don't know. But either way, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. And it said, curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. So before he can even recognize, get old enough to see good and evil, these two kings are going to be gone. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day of Ephraim departed from Judah. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly that is in the farthest part of the rivers of Egypt and for the bee that is the land of Assyria. That is, God just going to call your enemies to come in just like you would, you know, somebody having their dog, you know, sick them, right? That kind of thing. He's going to call in your enemies and just say, sick them. And they're going to come in without any hindrance and come in to wipe you out. They will come and all of them will rest in the desolate valleys, in the clefts of the rocks and on the thorns and in all the pastures. In the same day, the Lord will shave with a hired razor. Now, there's a lot of symbolism going on here. Again, whenever you defeated someone in battle, you would oftentimes, the women, you would shave them, if you will. It was a sign of them kind of leaving behind their old life and now being taken on into this new group of people that had taken them captive. There's also a picture here, quite obviously, of just mowing them down like you would a razor, if you will, when you're being defeated by your enemies. So the Lord will shave with a hired razor, that he's going to call these nations to come against you and wipe you out. With those from beyond the river, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the legs will also remove the beard. Again, this whole picture is clear there. We talked about it. It shall be in that day that a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep. That is, even the animals are going to be wiped out except for sparse numbers. So it shall be from the abundance of milk they give that he will eat curds. And for curds and honey, everyone will eat who is left in the land. That's that whole idea again. Remember he said for the righteous, they're going to have it good. He said, when I judge a nation, I'm going to judge the wicked, but the righteous, it will go well with them. What he's saying is, after I judge the nation, even though a lot of the animals are going to be wiped out, the majority of the people, those animals are going to be very productive, and I'm going to bless my people that remain. And again, a sweet promise to us. If God, and when God, rather, judges America, God's going to be faithful to us. And so we can trust in that, and he'll take care of us. That's kind of this promise of taking care of his people. It shall happen in that day that wherever there could be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver, it will be for briars and thorns. With arrows and bows, men will come there because the land will become briars and thorns. So the land is going to be laid waste as well. And to any hill which could be dug with the hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns, but it will become a range for oxen and a place for sheep to roam. Chapter 8, he says, moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's pen concerning Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. Again, that's quite the name, isn't it? God would oftentimes use the prophets and the names of their children to have special meaning here. It means speed the spoil and hasten the reward. The enemy's going to come in and going to wipe you out and get the reward of you. So he's naming, even his children have names that's saying God's going to judge us as a nation. He says, I will take for myself a faithful witness to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Now, isn't that cool? Listen, this is a prophetess we don't know about. If Isaiah hadn't told us that his wife was a prophetess, we wouldn't have known. You know, there's a lot of prophetesses in the Bible. You know, we think about, obviously we think about Deborah. You know, that's one that always pops in the mind. Maybe Huldah, we think about those. But do we think about Noadiah? You know, she was a prophetess, and there's several others in there, women prophetess. And then you've got here again, this one, his wife. She was a prophetess. And so he goes to his wife, who's a prophetess, and again, she conceives and bears his son. And the Lord said, call his name Mahershalal Hashbaz, for before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father or my mother, for it could even say mama or dada, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be taken away before the king of Assyria. And the Lord also spoke to me again, saying, insomuch as these people refuse, interesting, both the kids that he's giving here, his children as a witness, both of them, whatever this prophecy is going to take place is going to happen before they're even old enough to know what's going on. So pretty short timetable here that God's working in as he uses the prophet. He said, insomuch as these people refused the waters of Shiloah that flow softly, that is the waters there that fill up the pool of Siloam. It's the Gihon spring comes up out of the ground there in Jerusalem where they would get water for the city of Jerusalem. It was called the waters of Shiloah that flow softly, and they still flow softly today through Hezekiah's tunnel and down to the pool of Siloam, because they've rejected God's pleasant and soft flow of spiritual water is the picture here. And they rejoiced in Rezin and in Remaliah's son, that is, they feared their enemies and honored them more than God. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river, strong and mighty. So you didn't like the small little Gihon spring that was down there. I'm going to bring a mighty river over you, and that is your enemies. If you'd have trusted in what I was giving you, you would have been taken care of. You would have been supplied for. But because you didn't, now I'm going to wipe you out. Again, we remember the king of Israel at this time. It tells us in another portion of scripture that because of this king there that was in Syria, he goes up and kind of makes alliance with that king. And because the king becomes friends with him and uses him to be a defender against him rather than God, he comes back and builds an altar just like they had there in Syria or Assyria. And so he's putting these men in their honor over God. This is what God is talking about. You're honoring your enemies and their kings more than you're honoring me. I'm going to let them destroy you. And eventually they did destroy them, the king of Assyria, and all of his glory. He will go up over all the channels, that is of the people of Israel, and go up over all his banks. You're going to be judged by them. He will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck. So there'll be a remnant, but there's going to be a lot of you that drowned. And the stretching out of his wings will fill the breadth of the land, O Emmanuel. Be shattered, O you peoples, and be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you from far countries. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. In other words, you're going to prepare for battle, but it will do no good. You're going to be wiped out. Girding was a sign of getting ready for battle, if you will. He says, it's not going to do any good. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. You can say whatever you want. God is using them to judge you. He's actually with your enemies. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. You know, don't be worried about their words and what they're saying. Look what he says. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. What a great word for us today. Don't fear the world. Don't fear what people say against you. Don't fear the enemies of the cross and even the governments of the world and all their plans they're making right now. Fear God. He's the one you're to fear. Guys, this is coming to a close very shortly. I don't know how much longer we have, but it's not that much longer. And so sometimes I get a little bit enthusiastic, I guess, you know, and even with my intro there, as I think about, I hope I didn't put the wrong impression apart about, you know, that we don't take proper cautions. If, you know, if a disease comes through, we need to take proper precautions, as anyone should. The church needs to do that. Certainly if, there's proper government standards, we need to come under those government standards. So I don't want my emotion at the beginning of it, because I get so upset with a lot of the things that go on and just see it in the face of God that it gets me upset to dismantle what Scripture lays out as far as the principles that we're to do. But the reality is, God is saying, don't be afraid of the government. Honor them, but don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the nations of the world that will be gathering together, not only against Isaiah and the nation of Israel, but even today. Even the nations that are planning all these things they're planning. Listen, that you hear about all these things about the digital coin coming in and all these kind of things. It's going to happen. There's going to be a one world government. There's going to eventually be a digital coin. These things will be used to control the world when the Antichrist comes into power. But God would say to us today, don't fear that. Don't be afraid of that. I'm the one that's in control. I'm the one that you see high and lifted up. I'm the one whose train fills the temple. And so he's telling to them again, you're fearing man. You're fearing the wrong thing, that man is limited. Man can't do anything. I'm the one you're to fear. Verse 14, he will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You know, if you fear these other nations, it's going to be a snare to you. If you fear man, it'll be a snare. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob. And I will hope in him. Not only not fear man, put your hope in God. And look at this. It's really the Lord now speaking, if you will, prophetically through the prophet. Here I am and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. So this is his testimony. This is his disciples. This is talking about the disciples that followed the Lord and the church getting started. And the Lord saying, here I am among my children. These are my people. And so, you know, guys, I can't help just recently begin real excited about the Lord coming back, thinking about Israel and thinking about the Temple Mount and just in my mind picturing it, you know, and the times that we've been there and all that. Every time you go, if you do get a chance, who knows, with all the things that are happening in our day, hopefully we'll be able to get back over there, and hopefully some of you will be able to get over there. We'll see what God has in store for us. But if you've ever been there and you ever get a chance to go, what you're going to realize is it just is different and it feels different. There's something different. There's something special about this land. There's something special about the Temple Mount. It's not just all that we know in our mind. You can sense it. You can feel it. I remember the first time I saw it, it's like almost this overwhelming, oh my goodness. And you're, it's just, I can't describe. It's just something happens and you just have this desire to go back. If you've never been, you might go, yeah, I don't know. Maybe one day I'd like to go. Once you go, here's what happens. Everybody wants to go back. And it becomes almost kind of this thing. You go back and you want to go back and you want to go back. And some people just go on a regular basis all the time. You can't stay away. Notice this. Here is why. That is the spot in all the universe that God says, this is where my son will sit and rule the universe for 1,000 years. Think about that. The very land knows this will be his throne. He's going to sit right here for 1,000 years. His train will fill the temple on the Temple Mount. We'll be going up to worship him. We'll be praising him. We'll be serving him on the earth for 1,000 years in peace and joy and love and rejoicing and feasting and no calories and all that good stuff. You know, no more aches and pains, no more worries, just joy, loving each other, just the way it's supposed to be. That's on the horizon very soon. That's why I say, listen, don't freak out about the days we live in. This is a time to be excited. I don't like the yucky stuff any more than you do. But we're really close, guys. We're so close. I can taste it. And when you see it, you can feel this is where the Lord's going to be. And the earth's going to rumble. It's going to rise up and it's going to expand, it tells us, in other places. He's going to set his throne there. And it's just going to be, there's going to be a highway that's traveling all the way there to Jerusalem called the Holy Highway. You know, I mean, that's really what it's going to be called. We're going to be traveling on it. And we're going to be, again, this is a very exciting thing. And so you hear about this. He's for signs and wonders in Israel. He's coming back. He's going to rule and reign. And it doesn't matter how much of a hard time anyone gives us down here, whether it be our government or other governments or world leaders or whatever the case might be, one day they're all going to bow before the Lord and you're going to be ruling over those that gave you a hard time. Matter of fact, they're going to be removed. They won't even be there. So it's not fun right now, but it's going to be amazing really soon. And so we hunker down and we wait on the Lord. And it says, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? In other words, the nation was to the point where they were bringing in Eastern religions so much that they were going after the mediums and the wizards and the, he's not talking about, you know, cartoons. He's talking about reals. They really were giving, believing people are witches and warlocks and mediums that can tell the future or whatever, you know, this kind of thing. And it's going on right now. He says, you're turning to them rather than turning to me. I've noted this before. You're going to see more of this kind of activity in the last days. And you see more in a nation when a nation falls away from God because there's more demonic activity. This is demonic. And God says, stay away from it. And why is it that these mediums or these psychics or these palm readers sometimes get some things right? Because they have the demonic realm telling them things about us. Listen, there's no way they could know that. They could know that, right? No, they couldn't know that. But the demonic realm watches you all the time. And if they're in tune with the demonic realm, all they have to do is tell that person you're sitting in front of something about you. I'm getting an impression, you know. What else are you seeing? And the demons are laughing their head off. You are so easily deceived. It's like walking into a tribe somewhere that has never seen modern technology and you flash a flashlight and they all bow down. Get away or I'll use this. It's a flashlight. They don't know that. Lightning stick, right? Listen, the demonic realm takes advantage of the world all the time that way. They shouldn't take advantage of us that way. We know what's going on. They're liars. Yes, they have real power, but they're scared of God and they're scared of you because Jesus lives in you. Okay, so seeking mediums and wizards, should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? They're dead. Why are you seeking them? This is what God says. We should not pray to the dead for anything. Does everybody understand that? Now, I'm not trying to pick a fight, but that's exactly what Catholicism does with the saints. They pray to the dead that they might get some result in heaven. God forbids that. He says, don't pray to the dead. They can't help you. Pray to the living God. He says, to the law and to the testimony. That's what matters. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. If people won't hear the word of God, there's no light in them. Why do people reject the word of God? Why do they not want to hear what you have to say? Because they have no light. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse the king and their God and look upward. And they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Again, for those who reject the word of God, that's going to be their future. He's saying that's going to happen to them. I hope my emotions didn't have me rant and rave too much. Maybe I worry too much about it. But let me just say this. Our allegiance is to God first. We come under the governing authorities, absolutely. Rebelling against authorities is not of God, that's sin. If our authorities ever tell us that we're supposed to do something that's against the word of God, then now we trump that with the word of God. That's where we stand. That was really my heart in my rant. So if I came across in any other way than that, I want to just make that correction, because the last thing I want to do is lead some kind of insurrection unknowingly. You know, and where'd this all begin? Some pastor at Calvary Chapel, I don't know. I'm not afraid to get arrested. I just don't want to unnecessarily cause it, you know. But guys, let's fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. The bottom line is there's going to be more. Be ready for that. But here's what you have to understand. Use wisdom. Don't put yourself in danger. Let's find out what's happening when it happens first, and we'll evaluate every situation that arises. But here's the bottom line. With all that said, using wisdom and evaluation, not being stupid, we're not ignoring reality, okay? Everybody's with me. But the Bible still commands, in the last days, that's going to happen. And when that happens, don't forsake the assembling together of believers. And we're going to see these kind of things happen. The Lord knew there'd be pestilence in the last days, didn't he? So in that setting, he said, still gather together. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. There's going to be all kinds of strange things. The Bible says that in the last days, the Antichrist himself is going to try to do away with any other type of worship other than of him. So whenever you know something's coming prophetically, there's always the headwinds. Before the storm gets there, there's the headwinds, which means you're going to see the spirit of the enemy trying to do away with the worship of God, do away with the gathering of God's saints, do away with the things of God. That's going to be happening. It's already happening. Don't fall for it. Be those who say, God, I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to use wisdom. I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to put my life in danger or my family's life in danger. I'm going to step back and evaluate before I move. But then once I evaluate, I'm moving forward in what you've commanded me to do. So there's a balance and there's wisdom in all of that.
Thank you for tuning in as we come to the table. We're a ministry of Pastor Mark Kirk at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. Pastor Mark has been continuing his series verse by verse through the book of Isaiah. In the first section of this book, we've seen warnings about what will happen to Israel if the nation fails to turn back to God. While in the second half, we catch a glimpse of how there is hope of a new creation even after destruction and exile. But scattered throughout the entire book of Isaiah are prophecies about the Messiah. God's servant is going to be sent to earth to restore mankind's relationship with God and expand the covenant made with the nation of Israel to the entire world. We know that Jesus is that very Messiah prophesied in the book of Isaiah. And you and I are proof that his death and resurrection made it possible for anyone who calls on his name to be part of God's eternal family. If you'd like to learn more about what it's like to live in community with other members of God's family, we'd love to invite you to an in-person service at Calvary Knoxville. To find out service times, just visit us online at thewaymedia.net and click on the Calvary Knoxville button to be redirected to the church website. You'll also find resources like past messages from Pastor Mark and a broadcasting schedule so you can learn about the other broadcasts we offer to help you grow stronger in your walk with Christ. This world is difficult to traverse on your own, but we hope these simple resources can help you gain confidence as you follow Christ. Tune in next time for another edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.